Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Studios are remote today, which is fine, as we continue to be out of studio with everything going on in the world of sports. Thanks for being with us. We have Eric, who is at his house. We have Jordan, who's at his house. We should call him our palatial estates. Jared Nielsen, chairman of the board. He is at his house, his palatial studio as well. On today's show, we're going to have Devin Henry jump in. We're going to have Sandy jump in, Sandy Charles. So today's one of those shows where it's just getting caught up with everybody. There is a ton that is going on in the sports world. Most of it is NFL, but some of it is not that I want to get to today, including LeBron James being tested today. Today is going to be really interesting. The Lakers are being tested for COVID-19 today after three Brooklyn Nets players tested positive yesterday, including Kevin Durant. And so what is going to happen on that? It always goes in the news cycle. We have been focusing on the world of fun and games with Tom Brady and all that, so that is going to be coming up today. Our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. That is with life insurance. Just this last week, I was with somebody walking them through their life insurance situation, and they were considering going some different directions with their life insurance because life moves fast. This person has younger kids, so there's a lot of factors to get put into. As you go to Sagicor Now and you log on for your free quote, simply look at what may work best for you. You can log on and do that. Also check into Peace Assured. Peace Assured, a terrific plan. That's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor Now and their support as title sponsors of what we do. We have a fresh new TV show on Fox Sports Arizona as well with 18 airings this week. We appreciate our partnership with Fox Sports Arizona, especially making things work in these times. A lot of focus on DeAndre Hopkins in that show. And I think we're going to start there. So, Eric, what is on your mind today? Jordan, what is on your mind today as we are in day two of being in studios? Guys, is it all Tom Brady? What else is going on in your guys' view?
Well, at least for me, guys, this just came down via CardsWire through ESPN.com. DeAndre Hopkins threatened the Texans with a holdout if he didn't get a big contract. Now, that's why a lot of people are saying that the Cardinals got maybe a heist of a deal. If that is actually true, then this deal makes sense because Hopkins would be essentially be holding the Texans hostage to get out of Houston if they weren't going to give him his extension.
And I think it across the board, it was just a broken relationship between DeAndre Hopkins and the Houston Texans, whether that is the comments that came out today from Michael Irvin regarding Bill O'Brien and DeAndre Hopkins. And we had heard when that deal was happening, the trade was happening, that there was some contract dispute. So it did seem like it was kind of, let's try to, from the Texans' perspective, let's try to get something for this very, very disgruntled player right now.
Okay, so I'm looking at all this, and we're going to hear the Michael Irvin stuff that Eric alluded to here momentarily, but I'm looking at all this, and is it fair to wonder, I'm just saying, is it fair to wonder if the Cardinals are getting a diva? Is it fair to wonder if, okay, he was really unhappy in Houston? And yeah, there's not many times that I can think of where the Cardinals have had players that have said, get me the heck out or get me the bleep out of here in recent years. I may be missing or forgetting about somebody. I mean, there's players where you want them to stay, and then when they leave, it definitely has a tone about them. Like Michael Floyd is one guy that I can think of that it didn't end well in Arizona. I would have liked Tyrann Mathieu to stay here, but he went a different direction. The Cardinals are bringing in a player that was really unhappy, really unhappy. And so here's Michael Irvin. This was on ESPN's Get Up this morning. Michael Irvin on the DeAndre Hopkins situation with Bill O'Brien, the coach of the Texans.
You know, he got into talking about DeAndre Hopkins because DeAndre Hopkins has a few kids and from different women. And he said, you know, he told DeAndre he doesn't like that he has his baby mamas around sometimes. And from that, I think the relationship just went bad. And thus, we got a trade of DeAndre Hopkins from Houston for basically, like I said earlier, a ham sandwich, all because of that relationship. He said, Michael, it was a bit of a power struggle there because Bill O'Brien thought, Coach O'Brien thought he had too much influence over the locker room. He called DeAndre Hopkins in a meeting to talk about this and to kind of, I guess, hash it out. In that meeting, he started the meeting with telling DeAndre Hopkins this that blew my mind when DeAndre told me this. He said, he told DeAndre Hopkins, he said, hey, the last time I had to have a meeting like this, it was with Aaron Hernandez. I was like, what? He put in Aaron Hernandez in this meeting? He said, yes, he did. He said, Michael, that blew my mind that he would even bring that up. I've never been in any trouble. I don't know why would he equate me with Aaron Hernandez. And from there, the meeting just deteriorated.
Okay. So that's Michael Irvin. That was this morning on ESPN Get Up. And so I hear these comments, and none of us were in the room. If Bill O'Brien said those things to me, that's a head coach trying to get in with a player in a way that was completely inappropriate, in my opinion. A head coach will say, no, you have to do whatever it takes. It's my team. I'm going to tell somebody if, hey, I think you shouldn't be running with these people, or you're going down a path that reminds me of. And for Bill O'Brien to say that, Bill O'Brien, guys, and David Johnson too. Michael Irvin saying a ham sandwich for David Johnson, so he threw him under the bus. What do you guys make out of these comments by Michael Irvin?
Well, if this is true, I find it very interesting that Bill O'Brien felt like DeAndre Hopkins had too much influence in the locker room. It sounds like Bill O'Brien is a bit of a control freak because he was the head coach. He's the general manager.
But he should be. It's his locker room, right? Or are we just in a day and age?
Yeah, but what necessarily have we heard from DeAndre Hopkins?
Nothing.
Based on everything I've seen about him, he hasn't been in trouble with the law. The only thing I really know about him that really kind of opened the eyes to the public of DeAndre Hopkins, sounds like he's a pretty private guy, but is the story that Mina Kimes did about the relationship between him and his mom, who his mom is blind and can't actually watch him, but she's at every single game, and that relationship and where he came from. So, like, obviously he's gone through some things, but I just don't feel like we've heard anything that necessarily warrants a comparison to Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, that was – Eric, what do you make out of this?
Yeah, Brad, I wouldn't say it's Bill O'Brien's locker room. I would say it's the Texans players' locker room. And the best head coaches in the NFL have a good feel of what's going on in the locker room without actually being in the locker room. To me, this is a he said situation. Michael Irvin went on ESPN, spouted all that stuff this morning. DeAndre Hopkins didn't really deny it, didn't really confirm it. Just went back to the, I really liked my time in Houston. Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah. And if I'm Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim, I put number 11's locker right next to number 10's locker. And that is all just going to straighten itself out because Larry Fitzgerald owns that locker.
But I agree with you on that. Okay. I do agree with you on that. When DeAndre Hopkins gets introduced, and it's probably in the world that we're in right now going to be over a teleconference where guys are going to be talking all over each other to try to get the questions about what happened in Houston and what do you think about what Michael Irvin said? Did you really say that? This story is not going to go away. I mean, to go out on this level and have a national personality, whether you like Michael Irvin, don't like Michael Irvin, or why Michael Irvin needed to even bring this into play. Okay, and again, as you said, we weren't there. DeAndre is not saying anything about it. Is having kids, a lot of kids, I don't know how many kids DeAndre Hopkins has. Does that have any bearing at all on football? Does that have any bearing at all on a guy's ability to compete and be out on the field?
No.
Yeah, I think in DeAndre Hopkins' case where he missed some games last year, Fabiano was with us about it, his production was down a little bit. And some are saying, oh, he's on the backside.
It was down.
Right. Because he was killing it before, right? So I'm hearing this, and now it's going to take a different tone when DeAndre Hopkins is introduced. We're going to have to put up with this all off season, but we have to address it today because these are such inflammatory accusations. I mean, I have yet to hear or read anybody or talk to anybody in the NFL world that believes that Bill O'Brien made a good trade here. Anybody?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything. Where the best I've seen in favor of him is like, well, it's not as bad as people think, but it's still not very good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so
I think David Johnson could revitalize his career in Houston because he's going to get the ball a lot. He's going to catch a lot of passes. He's going to be the number one running back by far. But I have a feeling Nuke Hopkins is going to be even better in Arizona. And I thought it's interesting, guys, that Jalen Strong, the former ASU wide receiver, kind of went on Twitter today and said, yeah, Bill O'Brien. Yep, that's the guy. That's the guy who wasted 3 years of my career. So everyone's kind of coming out of the woodworks now and taking some pot shots. But it's the NFL offseason. Things like this happen.
Well, there is a lot of offseason. We'll move on from that, and we'll take a break here in a second. Sandy Charles will be with us on the other side, and then Devin Henry. We're going to check in with the whole crew today on just how things are going. There is this other NFL story I want to get to before the break, and that is with Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers. And we'll circle back on this later in the show. If you were to think of players through the years that when they left their team, I've seen a lot of videos now circulating because we're all stuck at home. All of us are at home. So I'm sitting there looking at show stuff, and I'm seeing the parents telling kid, Tom Brady is no longer a Patriot, and kid starts crying about it. So I want to circle back on that because I did have that happen to me when I was a kid. There was a player that was traded, and I sobbed like a little baby. So I've got to get that story and see if you guys were in the same space. The quarterback for the Rams, or the Chargers, I should say. The quarterback for the Chargers has to be discussed today. And Torrey Lovello did talk about what the Diamondbacks are doing during the break, too. But up next, Sandy Charles from our staff. I want to check in with her and see how she's hunkered down. That's next. All right, the whole team doing our thing remotely. Welcome back, Wednesday show, and we have breaking news.
You just wanted to play that. You just wanted to play it.
Let's see if I can play it again. No, we have breaking news. We have Sandy Charles with us. So, you know, Eric and Jordan and I just hanging out. We got to bring Sandy in. Where are you?
I am at home. I'm still in bed drinking coffee and reading everything on my laptop.
That's good. Are you doing any sports work at all? Is there anything going on that's catching your eye in sports, or are you just hunkered down?
I've been hunkered down. The only thing really that has had movement is Cardinals, and that's been, I think, keeping – well, I should say, and Tom Brady. But that, I think, has been giving everyone hope and just like, sports. So that's kind of getting our fix. That and marble racing on Twitter has been the top two things, highlights of my last few days.
Walk me through that. What are you doing there on Twitter with marble racing?
There's some guy who goes out and makes these long things in the sand so that he can have marble races, and then he has a play-by-play caller and another guy, and they sit there and they name each marble, and they do it just like they were racing around a racetrack, and they just are like, Blue Betty is in first, and oh no, here comes Blue Smith, and they just go, and it's actually interesting.
Eric looks so concerned at this explanation, but I've seen it. It's really awesome. It's actually really funny and like entertaining.
It is. It really. And right now, everyone's just desperate for that kind of entertainment, and I was one of them.
Eric, have you seen this? Do you know anything
about?
I know
nothing of this. No, this is all new to me.
Marble racing.
Eric's not in the demo.
I've just been catching up on my 30 for 30s. That's how I've been scratching the sports itch. So,
so you have like five jobs, right, Sandy?
Yes, I think.
Yeah. You have us, and you do updates over on the radio at 98.7, and you do work with the MLB, and you do work with NHL, which are both done. You do high school sidelines, which you just finished. So what am I missing here? Is there anything else I'm missing? You do all these things.
Yes, I do all those. Yeah, that's pretty much, yeah, the high school. I think you nailed them all.
All right. Are you going to start doing something else? Like, you're going to start doing other things? Or are you just going to be hunkered down and wait for this to pass?
I'm in between. There will be a little bit of both. I don't know yet. I'm still trying to figure that out. But I definitely, since I know I talked about it with you on the show before, how sick I've been the last 2 years. And actually, my natural doctor offered for me to come in and help her on some days. And so I will be doing that, which is really great. And it's something that I'm passionate about anyways, is helping other people heal. That definitely. And then I'll be back in 98.7 on Thursdays and Saturdays. And they're really being cautious about that. So we each have our own mic now. Not mic, but the windscreen that covers it. So I will be back in and doing that. Yeah.
And you can jump on with us and write something, you know, just sit there and bang out 200 words on what you're thinking and seeing. Are you nervous about all this, or are you optimistic it's all going to pass?
I'm optimistic, but I'm also realistic, and it has hit me the last few days. It's been hard. This wasn't easy. Thursday, when we were all out at Cubs, and we kind of knew it was going to come. We knew it was going to happen on Wednesday. We kind of were feeling it, and that's what we were hearing. And then Thursday, 100% MLB Network pulled all their people, and you know, from 30-30, and they all flew back to New York, and 30-30 coverage just ended abruptly, just like everything else. So it was tough. I cried a lot that day, and thankfully I was wearing a hat because it hit it from the crew. I don't ever want to cry at work, and I don't want to cry in front of other people. That was tough, and it's just because it's such a family. And so that was, you know, aside from losing your income, that's tough, but also these people you care and love about so much, and you want them to be safe. So that was Thursday. Friday, Saturday was, I think I was more in shock. And Monday, it really just turned into anger. And I don't know where that came from, but it was really hard. My heart was just really in a bad place. So I was just angry, everything angry, where I think that's the process of healing, the shock and then, you know, the anger. And I don't know what'll come next, but I was really angry. And it was just tough to have to really get my heart in the right place that God has this. You know, he's protecting all of us. Something good will come of this. Right now, it's be still. Be still, Sandy. Just be still. I'm not good at being still. You guys all know me. I can't be still. It's very, very hard. So
she's truly awful at being still.
Here's a revelation.
I'm really bad at it. So this is a learning curve for me.
Do you need any supplies?
Supplies.
Toilet paper,
no.
Food. Yeah, toilet paper, food, you good?
I'm good. We are good. We actually, Gabe, who I don't know if you've all met, but I know Jordan's met, and Eric, yeah, you've met him. He started ordering that on Amazon maybe like a year ago. So our toilet paper and paper towel has come to Amazon in big boxes since last year. So we're good. So if anyone needs anything, we have some.
All right. Well, I'm going to check in. We want to check in with you. And if you just want to jump on when we're doing shows rather than me invite you, you just want to hang and rap with us about what's going on in sports. Like, you know, we're sitting here rapping today about DeAndre Hopkins and Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay. So, I mean, just jump on in anytime.
Yeah.
Right? That's how it's going to be.
I'd love to. Yeah, I definitely. Right? Now that Tom's going to be with BA, what's that going to be like? That's interesting to me. So, yeah, I'd love to anytime.
You guys have anything else for Sandy before she gets out of here? Eric, Jordan?
Just be still.
Safe. Care of yourself.
Yeah, be still.
I am going to try. We did play
slow
2 hours.
Slow down, for goodness sake.
I know. It's hard. And Eric, I'm going to send you that marble thing, the marble racing. I'll send it to you on Twitter.
Please
send
do.
It to me, too.
I will.
I can't wait.
I will.
See you later. There's Sandy Charles. Part of our team.
Brad, you might want to do the breaking news sounder.
Oh, okay. Hang on. What do we got?
There has been a QB trade, according to Adam Schefter.
Yeah.
Jacksonville is trading Nick Foles to the Chicago Bears for a compensatory fourth-round pick. Matt Nagy has worked with Foles in the past and knows him well. So another big-name quarterback moving destinations.
All right, so Eric's over here in mourning, or at his place in mourning, because the Chargers don't have a quarterback. Where do you think you're going to go off this? Because Nick Foles, so for you Bears fans, Mitch Trubisky see you later. Thank you for playing.
They're
right?
trying yeah. to do, they're trying to do everything in their power to get Mitch Trubisky out of Chicago.
You traded up for him.
Exactly.
Chicago.
Exactly.
Breaking news there. Yes, you traded up for him.
We have to take that breaking news sounder away from you because you can't use that privilege.
So where does Cam Newton end up?
The Chargers, of course. Duh. I mean, they're going to take a flyer on him.
You think?
Probably not.
Washington. I think Washington is where Cam Newton ends up.
How was his relationship with Riverboat Ron? Did they butt heads?
No. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I mean, if they have a good relationship, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, they did draft Dwayne Haskins last year, but that was even the previous group, there was a rift between ownership and the player personnel people on whether they should take him or not.
Yeah, I think Washington, you know, Eric, if you go with Tyrod Taylor and you have the sixth pick, so then you take Herbert and you have Tyrod Taylor, that's not bad, right?
I think that's the route.
That's doable. It's okay.
Tyrod Taylor is a serviceable quarterback. And you give enough time for some of these, whoever the quarterback's going to be that they take at six, give him some time, and then it's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be something.
I mean, I'm not over the moon about that scenario, but that's probably what is going to happen. I think Cam Newton, depending on what Carolina wants in return, is more than worth the flyer if you're the Chargers. More than worth it.
Would you go buy a jersey?
If it's like a mid-round pick for Cam Newton, let's make that trade and take that chance.
Yeah, you'd go buy a Cam Newton jersey, lightning bolts, everything?
No. I wouldn't say that, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, he's damaged goods, but he's not that damaged.
But if you bring in Cam Newton and you have Tyrod Taylor and you draft a quarterback, that makes no sense. So if you bring in Cam Newton, you blow out Tyrod Taylor and you bring in a kid, it's a one-year rental.
Not
so you're
necessarily.
You're drafting a quarterback at six, aren't you?
Well, because Cam Newton might play, might not play. So you keep Tyrod Taylor, you draft Herbert. You hold on to Herbert, and you just see how the year plays out. They also have Easton Stick, who was a rookie last year, who they like, but he's probably going to be the odd man out. So,
come on, you think? All right.
I'm just waiting for there to be no trade value, and then the Patriots come in and say, yep,
yeah,
we'll do it. Yeah. We'll have Stidham in case he gets hurt.
Sure.
And then we'll have Cam. Or maybe Cam has his own package, and they split squat it or something.
That's the Trevor Lawrence plan B. Let's just get through 2020 so we can be in line to get Trevor Lawrence. So that's how I see it. All right. Devin Henry on the other side from our team. Devin's the sport of speed guy here, and I want to get him on board and just see what he's doing through all this. We're all working remotely. We're going to get through this. Sports360AZ.com on a Wednesday. So we have found marble sharing. And
we already knew about it. The younger crew knew about it.
Devin is with us, Devin Henry. So I'm gonna show this. So you know about marble racing too, huh? That Sandy alluded to. You know about this?
I was ahead of the curve, man. I knew this years ago. I watched this years ago. And if you guys need something to entertain yourself, this is where it's at. I mean, there's hours of this, endless of this beautiful marble racing. So. Yeah.
So what is the point?
I suppose to entertain yourself when you're quarantined inside your house. They were just a few years ahead of the curve of it actually happening, I guess, maybe. No, it's just I'm pretty sure what it is dudes make tracks. I mean, I think the more popular ones are there's some guy who has a backyard with sand, and so he actually carves out custom tracks with, like, roundabouts and – other stuff, but then you got guys like this with, like, literal tracks, and so it's all about momentum. It's all about probability, actually, which marble is going to hit where. How does that help it moving ahead momentum wise and boy, I tell you what, if you are just bored out of your mind, this is the spot to be. If you can find a marble to root for, guys, I mean, you could just go on and on and on.
This is like looking at a fish tank for me. Like, this is like therapeutic.
That's exactly what it is, except there's a winner and a loser. It's competitive. It's competitive fish tank watching.
So Devin Henry's with us. So people need to know that your passion is NASCAR. So you're describing this kind of like the weights of cars. Like, this is your deal.
I have no idea. It's just fun. It's fun. And the fact that I saw it on Twitter trending like a day or two ago, and I started laughing out loud because I was like, my brother was sending me these videos on Instagram like years ago. This is not new. Like, people think because it's trending now, like, oh, this is new. It's trending. No, it's been here for like a long time. And so just the fact that like I would watch some of them with my brother like a year or two ago, and now all of a sudden everyone is watching them, and now we're playing it on this site for seemingly no reason. Like, it just, I just love it. I love that. I love random stuff.
Brad,
like this.
Brad, did your kids have like the marble drop, like where you could make kind of make the tracks, but it was more like vertically, like it would go down slides and stuff like that?
I actually did that.
We have toy trains. We have toy trains here. Are you kidding me? Marble racing? I mean, I used to do the marble.
It wasn't like racing. It was like, yeah, you like drop it down and it goes down the circle, and then it'll go down like a ramp. And it reminds me of like, what are those like toy cars, the Hot Wheels. It reminds me of like Hot Wheels meets like the marble drop.
So Devin, I'm curious, away from marbles, and Eric just looks fascinated by all this.
Good.
So how are you handling being locked down? What are you doing? Do you have enough supplies? And what are you doing other than marble racing to pass time?
Well, for those of you guys who don't know, I actually still live at home. So, I mean, we are like on each other's last nerves. I mean, the house is getting so small now. I mean, I don't know how much longer all four of us are going to be able to be inside the house with one another. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, yard work is great. Doing some plant irrigation, painting some stand-up space heaters, pool maintenance.
All right.
We got a list going for Home Depot to do some project stuff, building a patio spiral staircase to the roof. So we got supplies. My mom was looking for toilet paper for like five or six different stores, but then she found some dude who had one behind the counter, so I guess we're good with toilet paper now. So I think we're okay on all those ends, but it's just kind of one of those things where I don't lose a ton from this, but as you guys know, I have a ton of part-time jobs with you guys at a school district and stuff, and so those checks are still coming in, but one of my part-time jobs, there's no check coming in because I'm not working there right now because they're on lockdown. So that's a check gone for me. It's not a ton of money for me. I'm not going out and spending as much gas as I have been because I'm not going anywhere, but it just reminds me that there are people out there who either they have a few part-time jobs in retail or something that they can't go and do. And so as I'm losing probably less than $100 a week, there's people out there losing the majority of their income right now because they can't go out and do stuff. So it's just kind of one of those eye openers that I had the other day going, I live at home. I'm going out doing yard work. Yeah, I'm a check behind now, but I'm not spending as much either. But there's people out there who need to spend the money to have supplies, and they don't have that income anymore. So it's just a strange realization in the climate that we're in right now.
All right. You know, you're very passionate about this, and it's very, very good. I am curious, though, about a minute in the segment, NASCAR, and what is going to happen, especially with the championship race scheduled to be in November, as each week goes by. Do you think, do you know, have you talked to anybody? Are they just going to at some point say, okay, we've missed four races, we're going to push four races back, and we're going to end up running in Phoenix for the championship in Christmas? Is that what it's looking and sounding like? Because they've already canceled two races.
Right now, there's no cancellations. Right now, there's only postponement. They have postponed every race through May 3rd. That's a total of eight races. Unlike most other sports, like NFL is 17 weeks long in its regular season. Woohoo. NASCAR goes 36 weeks of racing. They have 36 events. That spans over 39 weeks. One of those off weeks is an all-star race. One of those off weeks is an exhibition race. That already happened. And then there's one off week. That's it. So there's nowhere to make up what they have currently have postponed as 8 races. But NASCAR has said that they are planning on doing all 36 races still, and they're trying to figure out a way to get those all in. There's 8 missed events. Imagine in the NFL if they had postponed, in this case, you know, maybe like half, 4 games. Imagine if they were trying to do the season in the same span but do 4 more games. So having teams play 3 times within 8 days. That's what they're trying to do in NASCAR right now. They've talked about midweek games. They've talked about doing double headers where on Saturday they won one race. On Sunday they run at the same track and do another race. And then they've also talked about extending the season. But right now they're definitely for sure postponing until the CDC recommends currently right now that full 8 weeks. And, of course, moving the championship race here at Phoenix is one of those options. But those are the 3 options right now, and they could have a schedule release, they said, as soon as the end of the week. So we might find out sooner rather than later.
All right. Well, you're on top of it, obviously. Write about it. Doggone it.
Well, actually, we're going to have some content coming up on the site once a few more things are worked out. I bet you guys did not know NASCAR is currently working on having a live race on Fox on Sunday. That is
live race,
what they're working on right now.
Be like marble racing. It'll be marble racing.
Almost.
It'll be marble racing.
So I have a recent piece out on the site. It's called iRacing, simulator racing. So imagine if we got all 22 Cardinal starters. Kyler's got a controller. Chase Edmonds got a controller. Like 22 starters, of course, I mean. Imagine Larry Fitzgerald's got a controller. Every player controls themselves against, you know, let's say the Texans, because why not? And, you know, David Johnson, Deshaun Watson, they all got controllers. They play as themselves. iRacing is very similar to that, except it's actually feasible. So right now they have a race with Dale Earnhardt Jr., defending champion Kyle Busch, defending Phoenix winner from November, Denny Hamlin. They got a list of most of the Cup drivers, and they are going to do a simulated race where they have an actual racing wheel. They have actual setup changes with air pressure, changing other stuff in the car steps. I don't want to go too involved because you guys probably don't know what most of it means, but that's the plan right now. So you have a simulated virtual race on Sunday live on Fox.
All right. We're going to let you go off that and write about it. And good. Thanks for checking in. I got marble racing. There's Devin Henry with
it. Enjoy marble racing, guys.
Devin is really, really passionate about the sport of speed, which we love. And I learned something there. I learned that marble racing is something I don't think I'm going to do it. But I guess we could pass time. We're going to come back on the other side a little bit more about some of the other sports news and notes of the day. We're just hanging out during this. We're working remotely and every day with you. Sports360AZ.com. So DeAndre Hopkins has come out and has vehemently denied that there was any problems between he and Bill O'Brien, which is the smart PR move to make. We'll see how that story progresses throughout the day. Guys, I'm curious on this question. I saw quite a few people put up videos of kids crying in Boston because Tom Brady was traded. And this is when we have time like this, we can go down paths of things like what Diamondback jersey should be retired or Suns jersey and all that stuff. But I think on a personal end, it's, so did you ever cry over a player being traded? And I thought immediately when I was a kid, there was an outfielder for the San Diego Padres, Dave Winfield. And Dave Winfield was great. And Dave Winfield left the Padres and he went to the Yankees. And I was like in a state of shock. I shed a few tears. I was bummed. I was totally, totally upset. David Mark Winfield, big right arm, number 31 in my heart, throw guys out, hit home runs, was just an awesome outfielder. But I cried on that one. How about you guys? Eric, do you have someone that made you cry when they got traded or left a team?
I don't know if I cried when the Suns traded Larry Nance for Kevin Johnson, Mark West, and Tyrone Corbin, but I remember I was really upset because I was like, I haven't heard of any of these guys. Why would the Suns do this? What are they thinking? Larry Nance won the dunk contest, blah, blah, blah. And well, that trade turned out pretty well for the Suns. I remember when the Chargers either released LaDainian Tomlinson or he left as a free agent. I didn't cry, but I thought it was really odd that my favorite NFL player wasn't going to finish his career with my favorite NFL team. But I was an adult, so I didn't cry. So,
Junior Seau, when he left the Chargers, my wife was teary-eyed when he went to the Patriots and then went to Miami. Yep. Because we knew Junior had worked with Junior. Junior's kind of why I got out of sports, because he threw me into a bleacher in Oceanside High School, playing basketball and hurt my knee, and I ended up hosting Junior's show, so there was some personal connection. And when he left, that was a tough one for my wife. Jordan, what about you?
This is a deep cut, but when Travis Lee got traded, I was a young kid. I was probably like 7 or 8, and I was pretty upset. He was like the Diamondbacks, prior to getting those big pitchers and Steve Finley and Luis Gonzalez coming in and all that stuff, they were not a good team. But that was, for whatever reason, that was the guy I latched onto. I think it was because he was a left-handed hitter, and I was a left-handed hitter growing up, so like I could kind of identify with him. Another funny story is my older brother actually cried when I forgot exactly what year, but the Rockets knocked out the Suns in the postseason.
84.
And he cried.
94.
He cried because he thought then the Suns were going away forever. Not because it was like the end of their season. It was like the Suns aren't a thing anymore. And he was probably like 6 or 7, and he was like despondent. And my parents had to like try to explain, like, oh no, like, how do you explain months to like a 5 or 6 year old where it's like, well, that is forever pretty much in their eyes. But yeah, that was another just strange reaction.
Yeah, so Travis Lee, you cried? You cried over Travis Lee, or you were just mad? Were you a crier? Are you a crier?
I'm an emotional person. I'm not afraid to say that I will tear up from time to time.
Cried.
I don't remember if I cried, but I was like very upset. And but I also knew like Curt Schilling was a dude, and like this was probably a good trade, but I remember being pretty bummed out about it.
Yeah. Well, I think
one of the nicest swings in all of baseball at the time, Travis Lee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's right. So Tom Brady signing with Tampa Bay has not happened yet. Adam Schefter tweeted earlier today, it's just going through paperwork. Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay is like Joe Montana going to Kansas City, or Jerry Rice going to the Raiders, or Karl Malone leaving Utah and going to the Lakers. So it's happened before. Fortunately, there are the Tony Gwynns and the Cal Ripkens that we can look at. That's going to be in the news cycle today. The landing spot for Cam Newton, I think, is going to be one to follow today. And then the biggest story of the day is probably going to be LeBron James being tested for COVID-19 along with the rest of the Lakers today. When the Kevin Durant story came out yesterday about testing positive with Brooklyn, that was one thing. LeBron James and the Lakers, I can already see that tsunami coming, regardless of what it is, that there's going to be people to get the shots. So beyond that, guys, stay safe. And got an idea on what we should do to support. And I'll just throw it out here to you guys. I think that like on Wednesdays midweek, it's up to you guys. I'm going to do this. We take our dollars and we go to one of our partners who is involved in the restaurant business. So there's a couple of them, and we go support them. Because both Venezia's and Via Luna are good partners with us, and they are both impacted by this. So Getting out or asking fans that watch this stream and watch us to support those that support us, because we are self-funded. Without those people supporting us, we could not be here doing what we do. And both of them are being impacted now, Via Luna and Venezia's. So if you're going to go out and do takeout, if you're going to do the Uber Eats side thing, I, from what I hear, Jordan and Eric, help me out on this. If you use a delivery service, they take away from the restaurant. Is that right?
I believe that's the case, but I have seen some companies have waived that fee for certain restaurants and things like that. I can't say for certain, though.
Yeah. Eric, do you know anything on this?
I don't. I usually just go get it myself. But yeah, that wouldn't surprise me if that were the case. And it's weird, guys. I went to grab a coffee this morning, and the Dunkin' Donuts right down the street from my house, they had no tables, no chairs. There were people waiting in line to get their coffee, and they basically said, thanks, be safe. And usually in this particular Dunkin' Donuts, there's the group of maybe four or five older gentlemen who go in and drink coffee every single day at the same time. And to walk in there and have them not in the same corner that they're in every single time we go in that Dunkin' Donuts is kind of surreal.
And the other thing I've also heard that can help those businesses hurting is at least getting gift cards.
Yep.
To at least get some money on the front end, and then you can use those gift cards later. So that's another option that you can look into if you want.
No, I think canned food drives are going to do really well later this year, once this passes. That our friend JP Patchett over at Columbus, he's running a canned food drive for a nonprofit this Saturday. I'm going to go help him, where people can just drive up and hand off their canned food. So there's ways to get involved, everybody. There are ways to do it, but just think about that. Whatever your favorite restaurant may be, in our space, we have a couple of our partners that have been impacted, and support them. All right. Have yourself a great day. Jared Nielsen, chairman of the board. And great to see Eric and Jordan. You guys be safe. We will talk with you tomorrow.